Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on marriage when we come back. You know, marriage is a state-licensed business. It's a three-party limited general partnership between you, your spouse, and the state. And like any other state-licensed enterprise, it is regulated by the Welfare Department, regulated by the Department of Family Services. It's regulated and controlled by your family court. And the best part about all that is that you have no input into, and you have no say-so over, the marriage, divorce, dissolution, custody, alimony, child support, protective custody, or restraining orders. But you get to pay for all of the above, and if you don't pay it, you go to jail. Now, marriage is the most important, and it's the most expensive contract that you can engage in. It's more binding, and it's more costly than your military enlistment. It is more binding, and it is more costly than your 30-year home mortgage. And I'll bet you probably know a whole lot less about your marriage obligations than you do your military obligation or your house payments. Two-thirds of all marriages in America end in divorce. But, you know, whether you're a husband or a wife, you do have rights, privileges, and immunities to advance, to protect, or to defend against when we're talking about some breach of this marriage contract. And that's why you ought to know and understand that marriage contract before you marry, and you ought to be writing that thing instead of letting somebody else write it for you. Now, whether you're married or not, why don't you write for my free general law CD package and let me share some vital information with you about the law and about this marriage contract. The number to call is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, that's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, and it's free. And if you're online, just go to our website, georgegordon.org. That's easy to remember, georgegordon.org. Click onto the email machine and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, last time we were talking about this thing of the marriage license. Marriage license. And then that led us to the next dot, and that is common law marriage, which led us to the next dot, the Department of Commerce and birth registration. There's 42 of these dots that I want to take you from dot to dot. Let's see if we can connect the dots on this marriage story. Because the way we practice marriage in America today is something different than the way Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob practiced marriage back in biblical times. In fact, it's a lot different than the way we practiced marriage here in 1900. A whole lot different than the way we practiced marriage in 1787 or 1776 or 1540 or 1120 or in the days of Jesus. Why is that? Well, we got it in our heads that this Bible thing is all bad for us, and that religion is worse, and that we needed to separate church and state. So we threw the Bible, God, the Ten Commandments, out of our public schools, and we've replaced it with the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, of which marriage is a part and parcel, that is, the civil law marriage is a part and parcel with communism. Now, marriage is a little older than communism, a little older than the civil law state, a little older than Rome. We had marriage back in the Garden of Eden. But Adam and Eve didn't have a marriage license, and they didn't get birth certificates for their children. Abraham got married. Abraham had a wife, and he didn't get a marriage license either. And he didn't register the birth of his children with some king or with some state either. But then, of course, our God isn't very smart. See, the Buddhist God, he's a pretty smart guy. And the Allah God, he's even smarter, more likely. Got more followers, so I say he's probably a little more smart. A little smarter. But the God of the Christians, you know, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he's as dumb as a box of rocks. And that's because you never hear the Buddhists out here complaining about their God or fixing his mistakes. You don't hear the Muslims running around over here throwing Allah out of their public institutions. You don't hear them throwing the Koran out of their educational system. That's just here in the Western world, where our God is so stupid that we had to fix his polygamy mistake. And he's so dumb, we had to fix his Ten Commandments mistake, and so we replaced that. And we send politicians like Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer and Ted Kennedy to our Congress so that they can legislate laws and fix all these mistakes that our dumb God keeps making. Although we're kind of religious folk over here, 65% of us go to church every Sunday. I'm not one of them, but 65% of you religious people, you Christians out there going to church every Sunday, practicing the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, and you've got marriage licenses, birth certificates, social ladies, and you've got problems with truancy in public school and prayer in school, and the Bible in school and the 10 Commandments, and you'd like some changes, but you're not quite sure how to make them. So that's why I thought, well, let me come on the air and see if I can connect some of these dots for you. Now listen to this. Here's an article some years back, June 6, 1988, and it's entitled Computer to Aid in Investigations of Child Neglect Abuse Cases Are Affected. And listen to this paragraph. It says, the changes are part of the Department of Health and Rehabilitative Services Protective Services Initiative, an effort to improve their credibility and to better protect the state's children. So I underlined, and better protect the state's children, as I put brackets around that paragraph. Because, you know, the average guy, you know, you say, well, whose kid is that? Oh, that's my kid. That's my kid. Oh, and then you say, well, whose kid is that? Oh, that's the Mitchell kid. That belongs to the Mitchells next door. See, we don't seem to understand that when you see some little bread snapper running around on the street over here riding his bicycle, and you say, well, whose kid's that? That's the state of California's kid. And I'm the state of California's babysitter. And I'm babysitting the state of California's child. Well, where'd that child come from? Oh, that child came from me and my wife. But we passed our seed through the fire to Moloch and gave him to the state because we're incompetent and unable to manage our own home or family affairs. And so we contracted with the state of California, gave our child to the state so that we could get free education for all children in public school because we practice the Communist Manifesto. We don't practice the Ten Commandments, although we're Christians. Now, most people don't seem to understand who it is that owns those children. So I showed you that coming right out of the chute last time when Senator Pfeiffer said, hey, lady, don't you understand that every child born to a family with a state marriage license is a ward of the state? Now, that's a three-party limited general partnership. That means when the child was born, that the boy had a one-third interest in the kid, and the girl had a one-third interest in the kid, and the state had a one-third interest in the kid. And then the state came along with a birth certificate, and then the boy and the girl signed off and gave the state 100% ownership of the kid. So with the birth certificate, You create a three-party limited general partnership in which the state is an equal partner in the child, and then the state comes along and makes the rules and regulations, comes up with this birth registration program. You sign up for that birth registration program and give your two-thirds interest in the child to the state. This reduces you then to the state's babysitter. So don't get mad when social lady comes out and says, we're taking your kid and putting him in foster care. Don't get mad when the state comes out and says, hey, we're taking this kid, or we're going to tell you how to raise our kid. You know, picture it like this. You know, you deliver your kid to me, and you say, hey, occupy till I return. And I want you to educate my child over here in the Catholic school, and I want you to do A, B, and C. Okay, so you take off, and you're gone for a period of time. And while you're gone, maybe you're in Paris, France, and you hear that George Gordon has your kid enrolled in the local Baptist school. And he ain't doing ABC, he's doing ZYX. So you come back in a huff, and you say, hey, Gordon, now didn't I tell you to educate my kid in the Catholic school? And didn't I tell you to educate my kid to ABC? And what's this? You're educating him to ZYX. And I say to you, well, listen, this is my kid. Who in the hell do you think you are dictating to me and telling me how to educate my kid? Excuse me, partner, but wouldn't you change babysitters at about that point in time? Wouldn't you say, this guy Gordon, he doesn't know who the hell's kid this is. I need to straighten him out. Wake him up. That's all social lady's doing. You know, when you come along and say, well, this is our little child, and we know better what's good for our little child than the state. And I guess you haven't heard of the doctrine of parens patria, have you? We're coming to that. That's a few dots down the line over here. So I just wanted to share with you that, you know, here's the newspaper, and it says, and better protect the state's children. So why is this the state's child and it's not Joe and Mary's child? A little bit more to it over here. Here's a birth certificate worksheet for parents. When you're in the hospital, ladies, and probably half drugged out, they're going to hand you this piece of paper and tell you to sign it. And here down here in the italics, it says, please note that inclusion of parent social security numbers is required as a part of Public Law 100-485. This information is strictly confidential, and it may be released to the Idaho Child Support Agency if an official child support action regarding this child has been initiated. So first thing you need to understand about marriage is that it is a business. Marriage is a business, first and foremost. And the state's not ignorant about its business entities. That's why they give you business licenses. And that's why you have a marriage license for this state-franchised marriage business. And that's why you need a social security number here, boys and girls, so that when you sign this waiver, when you sign this birth certificate, you are passing your child to the state. You are giving up all of your right, title, and interest in the child. And the state will tell you what you're going to do. They'll tell you when to get up, they'll tell you when to go to bed, and they'll tell you what to do in between. That's the way that game is played. Now, if that was your child, the state wouldn't be telling you anything about that child or how to raise it or jack diddly squat. Picture this. Let's suppose that you're the ambassador from France. And you're the ambassador to the United Nations, and you live in New York City, and you got a couple of kids, and your two kids are enrolled in the local French school. And maybe your local French kids, you know, are at French school, and the French kids are taking off on July 14th, which is Bastille Day, and they're milling around, you know, loitering on the streets of New York. And here comes social lady, the truant officer, and she sees these two kids, nabs them, and takes them into juvenile hall, and then calls their parent. Parent comes down to juvenile hall. Remember, it's you, the French ambassador from France, and they make inquiry and they say, hey, you, how come your kid ain't in public school? and you tell them, well, my kid ain't in public school because he's not an American, number one, doesn't have a birth certificate, number two, my marriage license, if I've got one, is recorded with my God in France, so it's none of your business, you don't have jurisdiction, so butt out. How do you think that's going to fly? Hey, that's going to fly like a 747 with 200 miles an hour winds under its wings. It's just going to soar like an eagle. And that's because Social Lady doesn't have any jurisdiction over French kids. But boy, has she got a lot of jurisdiction over New York kids. Now, don't you try that, you know, you people in New York with marriage licenses and birth certificates and your kids loitering around on the streets on the 14th of July and he's not in the public school. You give Social Lady any guff and she'll take that kid, that state of New York's kid, and put him in a different foster home with a different babysitter. That's the way that'll come down. So when a child support action regarding this child has been initiated, and notice public law 100-485, hey, there's no law that requires you to get a social security number, and that's why I don't have one. So if I was in the hospital and I had a child, although I cannot imagine for the life of me why you would want to have your child in the hospital, which is a state franchise and comes under Wickard versus Filburn, makes you obligated to the state for having a normal bodily function like childbirth. You know, here in America, women have been taught that having a baby is a medical crisis. You ever notice that? Woman's having a baby, and my God, we've got to drive 140 miles an hour down the freeway, 70 miles an hour through red lights to get this woman to the hospital. Wonder why that is. We don't do that when she needs to urinate. She can wait until we get down to the 7-Eleven store. But if she's going to have a baby, that's a medical crisis. But urination isn't. Now, I would contend that childbirth is a normal bodily process, ladies, and ought to be dealt with as such. I know it's a wild new idea, but, you know. Now listen to this. I got a student here years ago, and his name is Randy Fry. And Randy Fry got a letter from the Department of Social Services. This is the nightmare of every parent in America. This letter, I'm going to read it to you. I mean, if this doesn't send chills up and down your spine, give you goosebumps, nothing will. You get this letter and it says, State of Michigan, St. Joseph County, Department of Social Services. Department of Social Services, James J. Blanchard, Governor. Oh my God. And it's dated October the 20th. You know? Get that date, October the 20th, write that down. Write that down, October the 20th. And it says, Mr. and Mrs. Randall Fry, Sturgis, Michigan. Dear Mr. and Mrs. Fry, this is to inform you that there has been a complaint filed with the Children's Protective Services stating that your son Robert is not attending school because you have not enrolled him and you do not choose to have him attend. I contacted the Sturgis Public Schools and I found that Robert was not enrolled and that you had been contacted about this matter. And I'm told that you reported that Robert is enrolled in another school, but that you refused to state what school that was. Please be informed that Michigan law requires that children 6 years and older must receive an education in an accredited program. Underline the word accredited program. Because there's three places for you to educate your child. Three accredited programs. One is homeschool, two is parochial school, three is public school. Now notice that Sherry Salmonson, who is the social lady in this case, is telling the Fries, but your child isn't enrolled in the Sturgis Public Schools. And she goes on to say, it's your right to select the program. I want you to underline that. It is your right to select the program, but it must meet the requirements of the law. If you refuse to comply with the law, you may be subject to prosecution or to charges of child neglect. Now, I attempted recently to visit you at your home to discuss this matter, but found no one at home. Please contact me by phone or letter to let me know if the above information is incorrect and to verify your son's attendance in an approved program. If you have questions about your legal responsibilities or your choices, plural, I would be happy to discuss these with you. Please contact the Children's Protective Services Unit at 467-6311 by Friday, October the 24th, that gives them 4 days, to verify Robert's attendance or to set up an appointment to discuss this matter. If we do not hear from you by that date, we will initiate legal action. Sincerely, Sherry Salmonson, Children's Protective Services, St. Joseph County, Department of Social Services. My God, this is without a doubt the letter from hell, isn't it? Well, Mr. Fry wrote two or three letters back and forth between October the 20th, 1986, and the final letter that he received from Mrs. Salmonson, Ms., not Mrs., Ms. Salmonson. And then that letter was dated November the 13th. So between October the 20th and November the 13th, two or three letters went back and forth. Now, I'm going to tell you what the substances of Fry's letter was. It was, lady, one, we don't have a marriage license. Two, we're religious objectors. Three, the child doesn't have a birth certificate. Got that? Three things. One, we don't have a marriage license. Two, the child doesn't have a birth certificate. Three, we're religious objectors. We're going to bring up religious free exercise. We're going to educate this kid at home under the Mosaic Law. We're kind of wild-eyed, right-wing, radical, lunatic fringe, nutcases. Now here's what Sherry wrote back. She says, upon a review of your case, the St. Joseph County Department of Social Services has determined that we will not be proceeding with our investigation. Let's see. October has 31 days. She wrote the letter on October the 20th. Fry must have received it by October the 22nd. October has 31 days. There was 11 days involved in October, 13 days in November. I'm assuming he got this letter 2 days after November the 13th. 11 and 13 is how much? Let me get my famous Texas Instruments calculator and plug in 11 plus 13, and I get 24 days. That's a shade over 3 weeks. Boys and girls, in 3 weeks, it's all over. No marriage license, no birth certificate, no problem. All right, now that's another dot for us to connect, isn't it? But now let me give you the next dot. I had a student in here one time by the name of Joe. Old Joe was a contractor up in Virginia, and he decided to leave Virginia and move back to his home state of Kansas. And he and his wife were living over here in Coffeyville, Kansas. Now, I don't know what county that is, but we'll call it Coffee County, Kansas. Coffeyville, Kansas. And he's living his life over there. He bought 40 acres, and he's got one child, just one little girl. And the little girl doesn't have a birth certificate, and he and his wife don't have a marriage license, and they're just living their lives happily ever after with a marriage contracted between the boy and the girl with agreement and penetration, you know, without a marriage license, without the state, without government, without social lady. I don't know if most people could conduct their marriage without social lady in the bedroom with them, but this guy evidently was able to do that. And so he's living his life. And one day, social lady writes a letter to him, just like this one here to Randy Fry, and says, "Hey, your kid ain't enrolled in the public school. Give us an explanation." So Joe, having gone through school here, he'd been through tax and status and business and courtroom strategy and procedure, and I think he'd been through the civil rights school. I kind of forgot, but he'd been to school here several times. We teach 8 schools here, and I think he'd been through 5 or 6 of them. Maybe all of them. I'm not quite sure. He's a pretty regular customer. He called me up one day, and he says, "Jays, look at the opportunity here." And I said, "Yeah, let's see if you can't pyramid on that a little bit." So he wrote him a couple of letters, and he said, "Well, I really don't think I want to send my kid to public school." And they took the bait, and so they got kind of hot and heavy on him and said, "Well, we're going to prosecute you." And then he thought, "Well, you know, if we could get a prosecution going over here, maybe we could get some damages. You know, maybe we could get these people to overstep their bounds a little bit and snatch the kid. And then we could come back under the Civil Rights Act and maybe we could score a hit and make a little money." As it worked out, it didn't come out that way. But, you know, one of the things that the state's very concerned about children not attending public school is that each child in public school is worth $58 a day. Did you know that? Yeah, that's right. $58 a day. So when Joe's little girl's not attending public school, the local public school is missing out on $58 a day. Now, there's 2 other ways for Joe to educate his kid. The presumption when social lady sees a bread snapper running around on the streets unattended is that this kid's truant. And probably in 99% of the cases, that's probably true. But, you know, once in a while, there's actually a child out there that isn't owned by the state. There's not very many. But there are a few children here in America that aren't owned by the state. They're actually owned by their parents, owned by their fathers. They're not owned by their mothers because females can't own children. See, all children are owned by one of 2 entities: the state under parents patrie, or the child under the First Amendment's Free Exercise Clause. Just one of those 2. And that's because girls can't own children. No woman has ever owned a child on planet Earth. No woman owns a child on planet Earth today. And no woman on planet Earth will ever own a child at any time in the future. How do you like that, ladies? Now remember, you got your 3 benefits, you know. You can't be compelled to work to support your families, you can't be compelled into the military, and you can't be held responsible for your debts. But you can't own children, and you can't offer sacrifices in the temple. I mean, there's some things that you can't do, and there's some things that you can do, and you need to know your place. So I just thought I'd share that with you. So anyway, Joe went down to the local public school, sat down across the counter there with their legal counsel, and said, "Well, let me tell you where the bear does it. Here's where the rubber meets the road." And the local school board counsel mulled it over and decided that they wouldn't be proceeding any further with Joe's little girl. Joe called me up, and he was just very happy, and he said, "Well, I guess I won that one, but I didn't make any money because they didn't take the bait, didn't cause me any damage." And I said, "Well, you got what you wanted, now they'll leave you alone." Well, some years went by, and then the little bread snapper was growing up, and Mama one day decided that she'd had enough of this home education stuff, and she wanted to send the little kid to public school. So one day, Joe takes the little girl, about 3rd grade as I recall, maybe 4th, down to the local public school and says, "Oh, by the way, we want to enroll our child in the public school." And they said, well, aren't you the same Joe that was in here 3 or 4 years ago and raised hell with us, you know, when we said we want you to educate your kid in public school?" And he said, "Yep, live and direct, I'm the same guy." And they said, well, the public school said, well, no siree, Bob, not by the hair on our chinny chin chin. You see, you've got to have a birth certificate. And if you don't have a birth certificate, your little kid ain't going to school here. Now, do you remember back in Shasta County, California, when our sweet lady back in Shasta County, what was her name now? Oh, yeah, here she is. Linda Allen. You remember Linda Allen, Shasta County? This is social lady. Now she says, consider the fact that in order to be registered for school, apply for a marriage license, grants, or scholarships in school, the state of California requires a certified copy of a birth certificate. And so here's the state of Kansas, and they said, oh, no, we require a birth certificate. Why? Well, because the state will educate the state's children. The state will not educate your children. Well, that makes all the sense in the world if you stop and think about it. You know, George Gordon needs to educate the Gordon kids, and John Mitchell needs to educate the Mitchell kids. And the state of Kansas needs to educate the state of Kansas kids. And when you get a birth certificate and a marriage license, you pass your seed through the fire to Moloch, and you give your children to Baal, and Baal, the state, will educate their children. But they don't want to educate your kid. See how logical that is? Not only is it logical, that's the way the law works. And it didn't work that way because I said so. I'm just a reporter here reporting what social lady tells you and what the state tells you. We ain't educating your kid. And if your kid belongs to France, we ain't educating that sucker in the New York public schools. But if that kid belongs to the state of New York, then we insist that that child be educated in the public school. Well, you know, you might insist if you had any children that they be educated in the local Catholic school or the local Baptist school. But then if they're not your children, it's kind of hard for you to insist upon anything concerning somebody else's kid now, is it? Hey, let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the website. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school direct at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine, and they're mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station, but they should. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct, 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about little children over here and who owns them, and telling you about this guy, Joe Fillmore. Now, I remember 3 or 4 years later, old Joe comes back, and the state informs him, hey, sucker, no birth certificate, no shot records, no vaccinations. Hey, you ain't sending that bread snapper to this school. Joe called me up, and he said, well, sir, they said they're not going to let me put my child in the public school unless I get the child a birth certificate first and then get her shot up with snake venom and monkey pus second. What do you think? And I said, well, Joe, you know, they got you by the short hairs. Joe, that child doesn't belong to the state of Kansas, and therefore they're not going to educate your kid. The state of Kansas is not going to educate a Fillmore kid. They're going to educate Kansas kids. I said, when that goes to litigation, you're going to lose. Well, old Joe had been to school here, and so he thought, well, I'll go down and bluff him out. So he went down, and he sat across from the school board attorney again, and he said, you know, I'm a taxpayer here. I pay property taxes. And this county is taking my property taxes for the school here, and this is unjust enrichment because I want to educate my kid in the public school. So I'm going to assert my First Amendment free exercise rights against two things. One, any contracts with the state in violation of Exodus 23, 32 and 33, and Deuteronomy 7, 1 and 2, and Leviticus 18, 3 through 5, step one. Step two, and I'm going to demand as a citizen that you educate my child in the public school because I'm a taxpayer under the doctrine of unjust enrichment. So, okay. Now, you mull that one over, and then we'll go to litigation. We'll see what our state Supreme Court says in a policy decision. Well, the school board, they took a look at that and they said, well, this kid doesn't have a birth certificate, taint one of the state's kids, and doesn't have vaccinations. This guy is a taxpayer. We are practicing unjust enrichment, but do we have to educate his kid, especially since if we take the kid in, we'll get $58 a day? Well, they mulled it over. They weighed all the facts and figures. And they came back and said, yeah, we'll educate your kid without a birth certificate, without the shots. Joe said, well, sounds good to me. And so the public school and Joe got along quite nicely together. But I honestly believe that had that case been adjudicated, had it gone to the state Supreme Court, the Supreme Court would have ruled against Joe and said, no, sir, you can't get those services without the birth certificate. Now, that's the way that deal came down. Now, here's another dot. Schools threaten families, says educator and author. The guy's name is he's got a name here named Gatto, I think it is. Yeah, his name is G-A-T-T-O, and he wrote a couple of books. And here's what he said. He said that an example of the growing threat posed by government and its schools, Gatto said, can be found in a proposed legislative resolution that he obtained during a recent visit to Wichita, Kansas. In part, the resolution reads, quote, whereas public schools have become the primary institution for the rearing of children and the transmission of values, and whereas families, churches, and other social institutions are no longer able to successfully fulfill these responsibilities. See, you people can't successfully fulfill the responsibilities of rearing your children. Though only the public school can do that. Well, so says the state. You know, the same state that runs a whorehouse in Nevada and protects sodomites by civil rights legislation. I mean, this is the moral authority, you know, the same state that threw the Bible, the Ten Commandments, and school prayer out of your public schools. That's the morality that you're subscribing to. And they say, hey, listen, you people can't successfully rear your children in your homes or in your churches or a combination of both. Therefore, public schools should be the principal caregiving institution in this state and shall henceforth exercise final decision-making authority on all matters regarding the existence, the nurture, and the upbringing of all children in the state of Kansas. How do you like that? Huh? Boys and girls, how do you like that? Such legislation and philosophies are not limited to Kansas, Gatto said. And when you subordinate the family to some larger purpose, like New World Order and world government, you've already destroyed the culture. I think Kansas is being used, as is Michigan and Oregon, have been used for many, many years, as a test state. And I think the Federal Department of Education's reach is intense and spider-like across a web of state education departments. And I think, by and large, that all state education departments are part of the same organism. Gatto said that schools are good at schooling but not at educating. As a result, he said, the social pathology generated by government schools has launched America down the same road of failure traveled by the Soviet Union. Well, after all, remember, this is the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto. It's free education for all children in public schools. It's a practice of communism. Now, I'm not here to lecture you. I don't care if you practice communism or not. You have a right to make that choice. It's just that I thought I'd share with you that those of you out there that don't want to practice communism and don't think that the state is the final word on child rearing, or that you think that maybe I could rear my own children, and maybe with the aid of the church and maybe with the aid of my family, maybe I could do as good a job, maybe a little better than the state. I know it's a wild new idea, but mulled it over a little bit. I came to that conclusion some years back. I don't think that the state's got very high morals. When they take you into sex education class and teach 14-year-old girls to be good sex partners of 14-year-old boys in the ninth grade, I didn't think that was the apex of morality. In fact, I jerked all my kids out of public school. And I said, I don't need to send my kid to public school to teach her to be a whore. Hell, she can learn that right here at home. We can teach her whoredom and filth and perversion right here at home. We don't need to pay a lot of money and send her off to some bunch of strangers over here. And we had a different standard. We thought that whoredom over here was a bad practice and that sodomy was a bad practice. The state schools do not think that sodomy is a bad practice. They think that's an alternative lifestyle. They don't think that whoredom is a bad practice. They think that's an alternative lifestyle. And that aids in marriage later on. Of course, I had a different picture of that. And this guy, John Gatto, he did too. He went on to say, but in large doses, this public school utterly destroys the function of the family, the church, the neighborhood, the culture. We're in the hands of some kind of utopian agenda that achieved a position of dominance at the beginning of this century. What is public about an institution that uses the police power of the state to guarantee its clientele and that is immune from criticism and responsibility? If agents of the state indoctrinate your children in their own myths, do you think that anything conceivably good could come out of that? Lamentably, Gatto said, most people still don't understand the damage that kindergarten and elementary school do to your children. He said, a mandatory kindergarten law, such as adopted during Utah's last legislative session, is an absolutely hideous thing. That's John Gatto. He wrote a number of books on morality and public school. In fact, he's a public school teacher in New York, and he was given, Best Teacher of the Year award several years, until he wrote these books, of course, and then I just kicked him out. If you're not with them, then you must be against them. Now, here's 1986. Hospitals collect a new baby tax up in Iowa, reported in the Sioux City Journal. they put in this article over here, and it says the Iowa hospitals began collecting the so-called baby tax this week as part of a new state law requiring the payment of a $10 birth registration fee. Isn't that just special? You go to the Iowa hospital, and they're going to charge you $10 to register your baby. It isn't enough that you're going to give your baby to the state. They're going to charge you $10 to take it. Well, then that makes a lot of sense if you stop and think about it. If you take your dog or cat down to the local animal shelter, they charge you money to take it in. I mean, after all, they got to kill it, you know. And see, we're big kids here on the farm. If we've got too many cats, we kill them right here on the farm. We don't have to take them in, pay somebody to do it. Of course, that's what responsibility in life is all about, isn't it? Choice is number one, and then take on the responsibility number two. Now, I'm not suggesting that most of you people out there listening to me should get rid of your marriage license and birth certificates, because probably, you people know more about your own families than I do, you're probably incapable of making these decisions on your own or of accepting the responsibility of child rearing yourselves. And you may need Social Lady and the public schools and the legislature and the policemen and the state to tell you when to get up in the morning, when to go to bed at night, and what to do in between. There are people like that. Most of them are in the military service or they're in some form of government service. These are people who need somebody to tell them what to do. World's full of people like that. Once in a while, though, you'll run across somebody who says, well, gosh, I'd like to take a wild fling at responsibility. Rear my own children, run my own family, get up in the morning by myself, earn my own living, pay my own way, and then accept and enjoy the benefits that come from responsibility. There's not many like that, but there's a few, and I thought, well, hell, maybe you might be one of them. Now, I can't imagine why a person would want to go to a public hospital under Wickard versus Filburn, accept state benefits, and then have a reciprocal obligation to the state by going to a hospital to have a baby. But one day, the same thing happened to me, so I got to tell you this little story. Our last child born, many years ago now, but we were going to have the child at home, and my mother-in-law, who was a nurse, and who had lots of experience. I mean, she had four babies of her own. And I always figured, you know, like my granny. See, my granny had seven babies. Seven. And I always figured my granny was a pretty good midwife simply because she was experienced at it. I've always wondered about these male pediatricians who have never had a baby in their lives. And they go to college and they get a lot of hearsay information, read a lot of books, and then come to you ladies and say, I'm an authority, you listen to me, and I'm going to tell you how to have this baby. I've always been suspicious of that. I'm a kind of an old-timey guy. I have a whole lot more respect for a plumber who's been out here plumbing for many years. And when he tells me something, I say, well, that guy probably knows because he's been fitting pipes for a long time. But when I hear some engineer come over here and start telling me how to fit pipes up, and I say, excuse me, sir, how many pipes have you fit? Well, I never have fit up any, but I got a degree from college. Hey, where I'm from, we don't call those guys plumbers. We don't call book learning plumbing where I'm from. Pipe fitting we call plumbing, book learning we don't. So here's your old granny out here, you know, she's had seven babies and she says, all right, sweetheart, come on over here. Let me tell you about these babies. And you girls out there, you don't listen to granny. You don't listen to Aunt Bessie. My God, no, they can't know anything. Why, they haven't been to college. They don't have any degrees. I'm going to go listen to this guy over here who went to college. Of course, he's never had any babies. He's never had any practical experience. But he's been to college. Somehow, girls, I kind of miss the point there. I never could see any logic in that. So you go to the hospital and you start getting into a little trouble. Now, there's a way to deal with that. And in this last baby that we had, my wife, I guess, was having a little problem. The baby, they told me, was born a little early. Well, I got this call at my office, and it said, your wife is down here in the hospital. Now, it wasn't St. Al's. It was the one on the other side of town. I think it was called St. Luke's. They're all religious outfits, you know. There's St. Al's and St. Luke's and St. Alphonsus and St. this and St. that. And so I thought, well, the wife's in the hospital. Well, I wonder what she's doing down there. So I went down to the hospital, and I walked up to the desk, and I said, hey, my name's George Gordon, and somebody called me, and they said my wife is here in the hospital, and that I should come right down. So here I am. And so this lady said, well, your wife is up in room, 282, and you should go right up there, and Dr. Smedley is up there, and God, they're just wringing their hands and don't know what to do next. And I thought, well, where in the world could a woman be safer than in the hospital? And they're wringing their hands and don't know what to do next. So I got on the elevator. I went up to the third floor, and the elevator door opened, and standing right in front of me as I stepped off the elevator is Dr. Smedley. And he said to me, Mr. Gordon. And right away, I thought to myself, now how in the hell does this guy know I'm Mr. Gordon? About 30 seconds ago I was down on the first floor, and now all of a sudden I'm on the third floor. I step off the elevator, and the first guy I see is standing right in front of the elevator. He says, Mr. Gordon. And boy, he launched right into his sales pitch, and he said, your wife is in labor, and she's unable to have the baby because the baby's too big, the baby's premature, and there's 15 reasons why she's got to have a cesarean. Now, boys and girls, in case you didn't know this, cesareans cost $5,000 and natural childbirth costs $500. And all of a sudden, here's my wife in the hospital. Mom-in-law isn't here. I don't know where mom-in-law is. I found out later she was downtown shopping or something. But anyway, the wife is in the room, and I said, well, don't you think we ought to consult with the wife? And he says, oh, we can't consult with her because she's under sedation. Now, here's your wife in the other room, and she's knocked out cold. She's out of the conversation. But, Mr. Gordon, there's this terrible emergency. And your wife can't have this baby normally, and we have to do this cesarean, which is $5,000. Now, he didn't tell me the price. I just happened to know that they were $5,000. And we were planning on natural childbirth, and we're just planning all this natural stuff, and all of a sudden. And right away, I could kind of tell. So I'm a cynic, and I said, well, this doctor's got an airplane or a boat payment due. That's why my wife needs a cesarean. Because, see, my wife had already had four babies, and her problem in life, girls, wasn't getting them out. It was holding them in. Yes, sirree, Bob. That woman, she's a pretty good-sized heifer. And when she went to drop a calf, boy, I mean, that calf, it dropped fast. I mean, it just fell right out. So when this doctor said, I got her under sedation in here, I thought, when that girl wakes up, that baby's probably going to fall out. So I told him, I said, no, sir, no, I don't think we want a cesarean. I don't think we want to buy that. And he said to me, why, you know, this is a medical emergency, and we don't need your permission. You know, in a medical emergency, we can do things, you know, that whether you like it or not. So I said, well, okay, you know, you let your conscience be your guide. I don't know how that woman got in here, and she's knocked out, and she can't speak for herself, but I want to tell you plainly, you don't have my permission to do a cesarean on her. And if you do a cesarean, and if there's any complications that come out of it for any cause or reason, you may rest assured that litigation will surely follow. Make no mistake. But you just do what you gotta do, Doc. Well, boys and girls, a miracle happened. A miracle, I tell you. My wife woke up, the baby was born without the cesarean. Can you believe it? Well, come to find out, she did go into labor, and they said, well, she's about 3 weeks early. Well, I don't think she was 3 weeks early. I think she's right on time. You know, you go to these pediatricians, and they say, well, the due date is. Have you ever seen a baby born on the due date? No, I haven't either. And I've had the artificial inseminator come out here and breed cows for years and years, and you know, we mark down on the calendar when this calf is due, and you know, they can be 3 weeks one way or the other of the due date. Now girls, don't panic, you know, when this baby ain't born on the due date. That baby will be born when it's time. Just sit back and relax, and when it's time, it'll come out. Yeah. Sometimes it's a little before you expect it, and sometimes it's a little after, but you know, on average, it's just right about 9 months. Just right about there. And you don't have to be in the hospital. That baby's gonna fall out of you whether you like it or not. In fact, back in Exodus chapter 1, they were having a little problem with this birth thing over here. Pharaoh wanted to kill all the firstborn males, and so the midwives were called in. Hey, how come you ain't killing these? Well, by the time we get there, the baby's already born. These women are just something else again, and they call us, and by the time we get out there, the baby's already born. They were practicing infanticide and abortion. You know, I mean, abortion isn't something, you know, that Bill Clinton thunk up. Or that some group here in the United States figured out, you know, like it's birth control. It's been around for thousands of years. It's called passing your seed through the fire to Moloch. It's a capital felony. It's a criminal activity. You ought to avoid it if you can. Probably save you a lot of grief. But that's what this hospital collect new baby tax, because all you girls have to go to the hospital to have a baby. Why? Well, because you've been taught and trained that from the time you were born. There isn't a woman in America that could have a baby naturally or normally, and a third of them are born by cesarean section, and that's to increase the doctor's incomes, which increases their taxes, which helps support the government. I'm not opposed to cesarean section. It's probably one of the best things that's ever happened to the medical profession or to the IRS and income tax. God bless you ladies, have more of them. But there might be a couple, three of you ladies out there, if it's ever crossed your mind, let me tell you that having babies is a natural process designed by the God of Abraham, and you really don't need a pediatrician. If you really need some help, remember Eve didn't have a pediatrician. She didn't even have a granny or an Aunt Bessie. Probably the best guy to have at your birthing is probably your grandmother or your Aunt Bessie. Pick out some lady who's had three or four or five babies. And I suggest you buy your plumbers that way too. Don't buy plumbers with degrees. Buy plumbers that can tell you, I've been putting pipes together for 30 years. You'll probably get better results. Hey, we're out of time again. I gotta leave it right there. So let me remind you that you've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. And the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact discs. So for more information, why don't you go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We got to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.